Okay, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and speak to you about our issues that are very dear to us. I was invited here. The group heard about us because of our work with the with my Talpan elders, and we're very delighted to hear that somebody was taking a position such as we had. And I've been involved over the years. It's been a lot of work since I was a youth. I got involved in our issues back in, I'm from the border of the BC and Yukon as my territory. But I went to residential school in the Yukon and was involved in politics there as a very young woman, and I never got away from it really. It's been a lifetime commitment, and I've been involved with women's organizations for over 10 years, almost maybe 10 years, just working on women's issues. And now I'm back again now to broader issues, not that any of the issues are not connected in some way. We struggle as first people of the land to just to enjoy the basic human dignities that other people enjoy, human rights, justice and freedom. And of course, I'm from the coast, and in the early 90s, when women started to disappear from the streets of Vancouver, you know, I really wondered why no one stood up. No one was disgusted with what was happening of our sexually exploited sisters in the streets. And it's not only that, it's our sisters in the streets who are invisible. All the people of the land are invisible. And we're made invisible because if we don't exist, then we were not connected to the land anymore. If we don't exist, we're not connected to the resources that create power and wealth around the world. And when we talk about globalization, it's difficult to ignore patriarchy, the cohort of colonization, and what that has done to our nations, and very effectively almost destroyed our nations because of the targeting of women and what that has done. And it continues today, as we hear, you know, two times in the past month, women's bodies have been found around the Edmonton area. And it's a repeat again of what happened, began in the early 90s. It didn't begin in the early 90s, it began when they landed on our shores. That's when it began. We have never been safe as women and as people. And what it has done to us, our warriors have not been able to defend us anymore. And when I heard the young warrior yesterday from British Columbia, it gave me a great deal of hope, because no one else is going to defend us like our own people can and will, and will put their lives on the line to protect our bodies, because they are sacred as Mother Earth. And when we begin to, you know, it's strange how you get into these movements. I think we're the chosen ones because we have something to offer, but also we get very, very caught up in the movement because we see so much injustice that we think, maybe I'll take one course on women's issues, maybe I'll take one course on Indigenous issues, and then it just never ends, you know, it's a lifetime commitment. And, you know, we talk about all of these issues, but we say that self-determination is key, is absolutely key to all of these issues. Because without self-determination as peoples, we have nothing. Because we cannot determine our future and bring hope to the generations that will follow us. And that's been the struggle, and very close to my heart. And we have charters, of course, we have you know, human rights. But how is it that certain people can enjoy that and certain other ones don't? You know, how is that determined, and how is that reproduced? It's very, very baffling. And it's not by accident that this is reproduced, because there are certain privileged people that reproduce this scenario and they are also the products of what produced them, and how can they change? And we wonder, we have many, many lawyers today. We have so many lawyers that they can't even get jobs. there are so many, many well-educated Aboriginal. In my day, I mean, you were very privileged if you took one course beyond. I mean, if you made it, if you survived high school, you're doing very, very well. You're very well educated if you had a high school diploma. Today, with all these lawyers, why haven't we catapulted forward? And I wondered about that and spoke about that at UBC, as we had several Aboriginal women lawyers sitting in the front row. You know, I wondered about that in their presence. And I said, well, how can you produce people who will challenge the system, who have spent 20 years being produced by the system? How do you change their mentality? It's a challenge. And I said that they are of little use to us, as they sat a few feet from me. You're little use to us if you just speak about what you learned there and you have little regard for the traditional knowledge of our people that survived in our homelands since time immemorial, is what we say. That knowledge somehow needs to be brought forward, because as people we have no strength if all we can produce is legal arguments. And as people we have little to go by if all we can do is give back to them what they taught us. Life is a challenge, and what changes us? What changes things? You know, I often talk about what happened in Seattle so many years ago, not so long ago, really, really changed things for us. And historically, we haven't been safe anywhere. And now I think about the tragedies of our lives. Okay, if the white people, if the colonizers were to stop everything, every assault on us that they've been doing for 500 years, their legacy would continue. The damage, the destruction will not stop, because they have taught, especially our leadership, very well in how to continue that legacy. It will not stop. If they were to stop everything, the rape of women, the killing of women would not stop, because the lateral violence is so extensive in our communities, and that it just would not stop there. They learned it in the residential schools, they learned it in prisons. In fact, they went from residential schools to prisons, because they, like it was said again last night, they produced such monsters and unleashed them into our communities that this legacy will go on. We say 7 years, anything you do say today is 7 years. I think it would be beyond that. And what happened, I'll give you an example of why it would be it would continue, is that as a young woman, I remember, I grew up in a community called Lower Post, where one of the largest residential schools was built. And when the people were getting out of schools, they produced such monsters that they couldn't survive. Not all of them, some of them could not survive, and some of them are still alive. But this one particular man was let out of prison, the residential school, and he was very, very violent, and they put him in the pen, which was a very notorious prison in southern BC. And he escaped this one year, and he was a very, very good woodsman, and he eluded the police for many months, through the winter months, and then into the summer, which was even more horrific. And I remember this man and how terrified people were of this particular man. I mean, he was finally shot to death because people couldn't live with that kind of terror. But this is an example of a man going from one prison into another prison. And this man, I mean, to think there would have been any change in him or rehabilitation, I don't know. They've been through such horrific experiences that if they could be rehabilitated, I'd be surprised. And this man, all of the people's lives he impacted, they again reproduce that sort of violence again.